What insurance should Christians carry? Question number 101. Does burial insurance come under the heading of life insurance? Answer. In the very nature of it, burial insurance is necessarily a kind of so-called life insurance. To class it as such, however, is not to condemn it out of hand. The spirit of prophecy bears testimony against life insurance, not so much because it is life insurance, but because the world instead of the church is carrying it. If the fallacy and shame in this practice is not immediately obvious, it becomes painfully evident when one puts to himself the questions, should a loyal and true citizen of Christ's kingdom seek help or protection from a citizen of some other kingdom? Has the Lord appointed the world or the church to care for his people? Does he ask his children to sever all relations with the world when they are well, only to turn them back to it when they are in distress, in sickness, or in death, to have it take care of them? Are Christians to trust in Christ only while they are well, and in the devil when they are sick or dying? Has not the Lord privileged the church to receive a blessing even for giving a drink of water to one of his little ones? Matthew 10:42. Self-evident are the answers to these and to similarly pertinent questions. Totaled, they give the overall correct answer: never should the church's members have to depend upon the world. They should depend only upon her, shearing her members as a shepherd shears his sheep to the fullest while they are well and have will to give. The church is morally bound to care for each one when sick or lame, and with no more substance to give ends than to provide each of them a saint's burial. Hence, a church which permits her members to carry any kind of personal insurance policy save with the church itself is disgracing Christianity and thus dishonoring the Lord. And a Christian who neglects to make himself worthy of a church insurance policy is like a foolish man who builds his house upon sand. The needs of the laity having been almost wholly neglected, the rod is now urgently crying out to us that we, as present truth believers and reformers, come up to the help of the Lord and immediately correct these evils. God's ministers are not called to be salesmen, promoters, or auctioneers in order to raise means with which to carry on his work. Rather, they are called to be preachers of the truth and under-shepherds of his people, tenderly watching over every sheep, for such are worthy of being well cared for and protected, not only in health, but in sickness, not only in life, but in death. It is a reproach to Christ when his people are left to the guardianship either of the world's insurance companies or to the mercy of the world's charitable societies. The church is both morally and lawfully obliged to stretch forth her motherly arms to her children and to give them tender care. Thus, as conservators of the church, we are challenged on this duty also, and we dare not fail. This great responsibility, along with that of carrying our maintenance program at the headquarters of the closing work for the church, requires, of course, a greater amount of means and merely the first tithe, the ministerial income. What then? We cannot resort to the denomination's practice of raising goals during church services, for such a practice detracts from the object of the meetings and desecrates both the house of God and his holy day. Such unholy trafficking on holy ground must cease. Do not wait until the Lord manifests his great power and drives out the sheep and oxen, along with the money changers, overturns their tables, and scatters their illicit revenues. The message therefore announces unequivocally that the Davidians, who will please the Lord, will faithfully and systematically contribute a second tithe of his increase to this necessary fund, and thereby help build a defense wall against the possibility of the enemies bringing unholy, time, and spirit-killing traffic into our devotional and educational gatherings. By so doing, each faithful believer will automatically be investing in this sacred insurance policy, which will ensure his own and his family's needs not only in this life, but also in the life to come. If one's income is $15 a week, then his first tithe will amount to $1.50, and his second tithe on the remaining $13.50 will amount to $1.35. Thus, his first and second tithe on $15 increase will total $2.85. Is this too much, brother, sister, for a work so great and grand as that presented in the Davidian message, so vital to your salvation and welfare? Let all present truth believers faithfully pay a first and second tithe as far as possible, then the association can maintain its ministerial school, in addition to its boarding school, for all needy and worthy children in present truth who are of school age, and provide a home for the aged, medical care for the needy sick, food for the hungry, and burial for those who fall at their posts of duty. This most urgent, as well as trying call, brother and sister, challenges your faithfulness, your loyalty, your cooperation, your vision in full, comprehending the message, and your love for the Lord's heritage. Rise, therefore, and shine. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Asks the Lord, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer, thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Isaiah 58:6-12. The contributions required of the Hebrews for religious and charitable purposes amounted to fully 1/4 of their income. So heavy a tax upon the resources of the people might be expected to reduce them to poverty, but, on the contrary, the faithful observance of these regulations was one of the conditions of their prosperity. On condition of their obedience, God made them this promise, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 527. When Paul sent Titus to Corinth to strengthen the believers there, he instructed him, in the grace of giving, their benevolence testified that they had not received the grace of God the message in vain. What could produce such liberality but the sanctification of the Spirit? Spiritual prosperity is closely bound up with Christian liberality. The followers of Christ should rejoice in the privilege of revealing in their lives the beneficence of their Redeemer. As they give to the Lord, they have the assurance that their treasure is going before them to the heavenly comforts. The sower multiplies his seed by casting it away, by imparting they increase their blessings. Acts of the Apostles, pages 344-345. The Church, therefore, is under as heavy moral, as well as lawful, obligation not only to carry the insurance for all her true and faithful followers, but also to look after all their needs should they themselves at any time become helpless, as are her members, to support her work, and to obey her divine message. Setting forth this divinely imposed duty upon the people, and their Laodicean shepherds' utter disregard of it, also the final outcome of their dereliction of duty, Ezekiel warns, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, hear the word of the Lord, as I live, saith the Lord God. Surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle, and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I the Lord will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them, I the Lord have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And I will make them, and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I the Lord their God am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture are mine, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel 34:2, 7-31.